Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to Farming News with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Irish Farmers Journal News podcast. I'm Acting News Editor Amy Ford. Coming up in this week's show, we speak to beef editor Adam Woods about the live export trade and beef prices and Manor Hamilton Mart auctioneer James McCarney. We'll also chat to Deputy Editor Jack Kennedy about Kerry Co-op, milk prices and the Food Vision Dairy Group. And finally, we'll speak to Noel Barden about the pig sector and agricultural appeals in 2021. Adam, you're first up. You're writing this week that there's likely to be a boost for Wainlands this year with the Israeli market expected to open up for exports. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a really positive 4 months for livestock exports in general. They're up about 16,000 head, or about 12% year on year. One of the main drivers of that is the Netherlands for calves being exported out of the country. But yeah, we've seen some really good appetite in the last 2 months from the Middle East. We've seen customers visit the country there just 2 months ago from Israel to check out ports, check out quarantine centres and check out exporters facilities. And we expect now in the next couple of weeks that the first load of weanlings will depart for Israel. Israel isn't alone. We have other countries like Libya. We have 7,500 head exported to Libya so far that this year. That's up 2,500 head on last year. And all the indications are that there will be more boatloads of their Frisian bulls that are going to Libya for the rest of 2022. The good thing about the Israel market is that they're looking for continentals, we say quality weanlings, 300 to 400 kilos. And obviously Jordan's in the mix now as well. We have 4,000 bulls gone to Jordan as well. So all in all, very, very positive. And I think it's going to continue that. And look, it'll be important coming into the weanland trade over the next couple of months that we have good customers there to buy Irish weanlands.
Yeah, and as you said, good news on the that it's the bull weanlands and those top quality weanlands. Staying in the beef sector, obviously there's positive moves on beef price again this week, and it looks like the beef price is actually heading for €6 a kilo. When do you think that'll be hit, and is that going to offset higher input costs on farms at the minute?
That's a tough one, Amy. When it'll be hit, I think, to be honest, in the next 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to see €6 being paid. Given what agents are paying for finished cattle in March at the moment, you're up at 5.95 equivalent carcass weight. Really, it's moving by the day over the last week, and farmers would want to be very careful in terms of selling cattle and sell hard because factories really want cattle. I guess all the shed cattle are gone, and I would say farmers have let out cattle back out to grass, and it's only the big finishers at the moment or the big feedlots they're actually drafting from them. And I think it's going to continue to be positive. I suppose if we look across Europe, there's nothing on the horizon to suggest that beef price will come back. And in fact, Ireland is probably still at the bottom of the league. If we look at countries like Holland, France, the amount of improvement there's been there since 2021 in terms of beef price, you're up at 31.50 a kilo, whereas we're probably around €1 a kilo, maybe a little bit along with it. And also, I guess, in the UK, one of our most important markets, their kill is down 6%. So it's really a perfect storm in terms of demand and supply, and farmers need to capitalise on that because obviously, with fertiliser prices, with meal prices heading for €500 a tonne next winter. So farmers definitely need to make hay while the sun shines and make the most of this high beef price over the next couple of weeks.
Okay, and long may it continue. Adam, thanks for that. Next up, we're going to hear from Niamh Gunn, who was in Manor Hamilton Mart earlier this week, and she spoke to auctioneer James McCarney about the trade.
So James, what's the trade like for cattle today?
The trade was very good there today. Cattle are, I'd say, at an all-time high. They're never selling as well, and just it's going very well for everyone at the minute. Farmers are very happy with the prices they're getting.
Brilliant. And who is buying at the moment?
There's a mixture, I suppose, between the feedlots and farmers out buying for grass, and you've all the exporters buying too, so a mixture between everyone.
And do you think the lighter cattle are a weaker trade at the moment?
The plainer sorts are a weaker trade, but anything with quality is still selling very well.
And what are cull cows making?
Cull cows are just crazy at the minute. Any of the big, heavy, fleshed, coloured cows make more than heifers and bullocks at the minute. They're a super trade.
What's the mood like with farmers at the moment around the mart?
All the farmers seem to be very happy. They're getting well paid for the cattle, although the price of everything has gone way up, but they're getting paid for it with the prices they're getting for their cattle, I suppose.
Thanks, James. You can visit thefarmersjournal.ie to get a full report on today's sale.
Get the Irish Farmers Journal delivered to your door every Thursday. Subscribe to our limited-time home delivery subscription offer and get a Regatta Gilet worth €45 free. Go to www.farmersjournal.ie/subscribe for more.
Thanks to Niamh for that. Now we're going to move to the dairy sector. Jack, next week is peak milk supply week in the calendar. Where can we expect milk prices to be for that peak supply?
Look, the indications are it's going to stay going up for the next couple of months, to be honest with you, Amy. I mean, effectively, the market is just catching up on the commodity price increases that have happened over the last number of weeks. So really, we saw the April milk price being set in last week and this week. And, you know, they're in the main, they're adding on the kind of 2 or 3 cents a litre that the market has delivered up to now, where, you know, we're setting milk price for the farm gate retrospectively. So, I mean, these processors know what they got for the product. So that's what's happening. And we know what the commodities are making on the European and global market. So, like, I mean, in essence, like, we're in a ballpark, whether you include VAT or excluding VAT, we're in that 50 cents per litre game now at this stage, you know, and because there's a lot of various processors doing different bits and pieces in terms of whether the price, the money is going on to the base price or going on to the, you know, a bonus because of the, I suppose, the conundrum that's there in terms of the fixed meat price contracts and the difference that's there between them, the market price currently. So there's a couple of the processors doing some of that, and you'll see more of that happening. But I mean, anytime you're give or take near 50 cents a litre for this particular time of the year is huge, Amy, because it's a high volume time as well. You know, we've seen good prices before in October, November and December, but I mean, for the seasonal milk suppliers, the volumes are very small. So at this time of the year, it's good news to have good price with high volume.
And are they record prices, Jack? And the volume wise next week, like, are we going to be up, down or sideways on previous years for peak week, do you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's no doubt about it. The prices that farmers are getting now are definitely, you know, a 15-year high. There's no doubt about it in terms of where they've been compared to. So there's definitely record prices. Volumes are not going to be as high. No, they're going to be back, I'll say, kind of on, you know, again, that 2 or 3% on last year. There's no doubt about it, even though everything is good now at the moment in terms of weather-wise and grass-wise and cow numbers, etc. But no, volumes are going to be back a touch on last year.
Okay, and we're staying in, obviously, the dairy sector. You have a story this week about Kerry Co-op, Jack. There's a couple of bits happening there in terms of the processing side of things and on the patronage shares side of things, which has been going on for a number of years. Can you give us an update on what's going on both fronts?
Yeah, I mean, both stories have been running and running and running, says you, and are going to run further, I think. Like, the joint venture piece is, you know, that the co-op, Kerry Co-op, are looking to take over or take back the processing, milk processing side of their business. Kerry Group, at the moment, own it, and the Kerry Group are who pay the farmers. But the co-op have been, and over the last 2 years, I suppose, have been in various negotiations with the group, with Kerry Group. And I suppose there's a new chairman in there now. He's very much positive about trying to get the co-op and the milk processing back together. So that piece, I think, is ongoing, very much kind of, I suppose, behind the scenes, and they're working away on it as they should, you know, in terms of trying to put a plan in place, trying to put a funding model in place, and trying to build a vision for farmers in terms of how this is going to work going to the future, because this is a big move. You have 3,000 milk suppliers, like we'll say, down in the southwest of Ireland, and they're very much dependent on Kerry buying milk or whoever it is. Like, if it's not the co-op that buy it, someone else is going to buy it. They're very dependent on that, because because it's a geographically it's a very dispersed area, and the milk suppliers are spread right across it, you know. So that whole piece on Kerry Co-op assuming control of the milk processing piece, that's going to come to a head, you know, in the next couple of months. I see the new chairman, I'd say, trying to put a real focus on that and trying to get a plan and a vision in place to try and make that happen. So we have a couple of bits and pieces on that this year, or this week. And as you say, the other piece then is the patronage share piece. Again, you know, this dates back to 2012, 2013, when milk suppliers got patronage shares for trading with the co-op. And then there was a whole row over, you know, I suppose, what are they classified as? Is that income? And hence, do they get, you know, have you to pay income tax on it? Or are they an asset value and have you to pay capital gains tax on it if you've sold them, etc., and that kind of thing? So that whole piece, you know, effectively at this stage, it's in the High Court. And I suppose the up to now in 2020, the ruling went with the co-op in terms of that, you know, that it wasn't a trading piece, but the revenue decided that, listen, on a legal point of law, listen, we need to test this. So their revenue again have been in the High Court in the last number of weeks, and we're expecting a result on that in the next maybe 5 or 6 weeks. But again, it's hard to pin that down, as we all know, that in terms of getting the result out of the High Court is not necessarily something that you can plan. So that piece is happening there in the background. So two big kind of stories that have been running for a long time down in the southwest and are you know, building up a head of steam once again now.
Okay, Jack. And finally this week, obviously, we got it last Friday evening, but the Food Vision Dairy Group, its interim report is out. There's been an awful lot of talk about this group in the dairy sector. And it appears that there's a cow reduction scheme now on the table instead of a retirement scheme. What's the latest on that, and what are the next steps? Where is that going to go from here?
Yeah, the two big ones are, as you say, just in terms of speaking about the report first, I mean, the three big ones for me. One is the cow reduction scheme. Okay, so the retirement scheme was there in previous drafts. That effectively now has turned in, I'll say, into a cow reduction scheme, so that it brings more farmers into it, but they might all want to reduce cow number slightly, or, you know, or if they do and they get paid so much per cow, etc., and that kind of thing, and hence that feeds into the overall aim in terms of trying to put a cap or a limit on cow numbers in the country. So that cow reduction scheme, yeah, look, again, Amy, all we have really at this stage is the headline of it, you know, the kind of, with very little detail about how it'll work and how it'll you know, operate at farm level, and what are farmers going to be paid when they do that, etc., and that kind of thing. So yeah, look, there's a lot to be found out on that piece just yet. The other one, of course, then, is the nitrogen. So again, this was in a previous draft, was that if the dairy vision group want to sign up to this, that we're looking at target a kind of a 35% reduction in artificial nitrogen now, which is huge, like, in terms of, you know, like, the dairy farmers are big users of nitrogen to grow grass, etc., and that kind of thing. So, like, they'll need that nitrogen, and previous studies from Chagas have shown that, listen, if you reduce, you know, artificial nitrogen in dairy enterprises, you're going to automatically reduce profit on those farms, you know. So I mean, it's an important one economically for these farms. They all want to do what's right in terms of the environmental piece, but this is more a kind of an economic piece in terms of if we reduce by 35%, then the suggestion is that there's an equivalent 35% reduction in profit margins, you know, which would be huge, like, for the dairy enterprise. So that's where the row was going to happen there around that, in terms of, well, what are we doing here, and what are we saying to an enterprise here that's making money across rural Ireland, like, you know, and why do we want to reduce the margins? The third one that I pick out from it, again, of course, is this whole piece around environmental quotas or limits per farm. You know, so here they're talking about a kind of a cap and trade quota for a farm, and that he could, if he was reducing, if he or she was reducing the number of cows, that they could sell off the kind of methane credits from that farm, we'll say, so that some other farmers in the country could use them. So, I mean, That's again is a huge change. One is putting a quota or a limit back on the farm and putting a value on the environmental quota, and two, it's a whole piece of trading that there is no groundwork done on that yet either, you know. So it's very much kind of, listen, it's an idea, and I think something that you could work with, but I think, you know, it's very early days in kind of working out the detail on it. So I think, Amy, you asked about the next steps, and I think the really where it comes down to is we need to see more detail on these. We need to see the costings. We need to see the economic impact of these issues on farms, and put some kind of real flesh on the bones around these ideas that are there now in the interim draft report, and we need to kind of really take it from here now.
Great, Jack, thanks for that. There's obviously a lot to unpackage there, and you can read more about that Food Vision Dairy Group report in this week's Irish Farmers Journal and the reaction from farm orgs to it as well. Next up, we're going to speak to news correspondent Noel Barden. Noel, over the last number of months, we've seen and heard from pig farmers struggling with rising costs. Pig farmers are protesting again this week. What are they looking for and what do they want done?
Yeah, so the IFA is campaigning for €2 a kilo pig price by the end of the month. Has continued this week with another protest underway. It's underway currently at Hilton Foods in Drogheda. The protest has entered its second day, where the protesters would have gathered from around 6 o'clock yesterday morning. I suppose the IFA wouldn't have been satisfied with the outcome of a meeting that it had with the management of the secondary pig meat processor, and it's decided to hang on for another while. This week's protest follows more protests that would have been held last week, and the All Centre on the IFA putting pressure on secondary pig meat processors to seek higher pig meat prices from the retailers that they supply and to pass them on to the factories to which the farmers sell their pigs. I suppose from this week's protest, which is happening with pig meat prices of about 170 a kilo, so there's still about 30 cent a kilo that farmers would be looking for before the end of the month. I suppose this week's protest, the IFA pig chair would have said, has been a bit like past the parcel when they've went and they've met with the management of Hilton Foods. They said it's been the same scenario that's come up a couple of times, where the secondary processor says that the IFA needs to talk to the factories or they need to talk to the retailers. And then when the IFA goes to a retailer or a primary processor, they're put back to someone else along the food supply chain. Pig farmers this week, they got another hit with another increase in feed prices, this time arising from India's ceasing of grain exports. Composite feed prices are roughly around the €500 a tonne mark, and the market still have to stabilise there. So farmers aren't fully sure of what kind of a price increase the move in India will leave the situation for them at. And I suppose, yeah, it still has to be seen what the outcome of this series of protests will be. I suppose the IFA again, it would have said that it thought that it had a commitment from a lot of secondary processors that they would have cooperated with their factories and with their retailers to deliver price increases, and farmers were very much expecting quite a significant price increase last week, but it didn't come, as we said, with prices still in and around the 170 a kilo mark. And that's fairly well where the situation stands at the minute, with the protest still underway at Hilton's.
Thanks, Noel. There's a lot to unpack there, and more that we've been, I suppose, writing about, and more that we'll continue to write about in the coming weeks and months, and more on that in next week's paper. Noel, you also have a story this week about agricultural appeals for 2021. Tell us about that. What exactly is happening there?
Yeah, so the Minister McConnellogue came out maybe the week before last in response to a parliamentary question, and he gave some of the figures behind the Agricultural Appeals Office handling of appeals. The office itself is independent to the department, but the minister still provided a couple of figures there. So from 2019 to 2021, there would have been in total a 42% increase in the volume of appeals made by farmers to the office. So these would have been farmers who maybe had a problem with a scheme or with a payment or a penalty applied following a farm inspection or something like that. The office itself in 2021, this 42% rise took the number of appeals up to 809, just on the agricultural end of things. And then, because there was such a large increase in the number of appeals, Minister McConnellogue said that there was a bit of a backlog there in processing appeals, and there were fewer appeals processed as well, or fewer appeals closed. when in-person oral hearings were suspended due to COVID-19 restrictions, and that slowed down the office's ability to get through work. But the number of appeals closed more than doubled in 2021 compared with the year previous. But they still only settled 757 appeals, which wouldn't have been enough to get through 2021's appeals. So there is still, by the looks of it, a bit of a backlog there. But in terms of 2019 and 2020 appeals, they do seem to be getting through the system, and a decision does seem to be getting made on these appeals.
Thanks very much, Noel. That's all we have time for this week, folks. You can read all about all of these stories in this week's paper and online. Until next time, we leave it there.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.